This is the Feet in Two Worlds podcast. I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez. In this podcast, we often meet people whose lives are torn between the country they left behind and their new home in the U.S. But not many live out this dual existence in such a candid and colorful way as Layla. She's from Yemen, and when she was 7 years old, her family moved to Brooklyn. Layla's family is steeped in traditional Yemeni and Muslim culture, which strictly defines roles for men and women. But Layla is also a New Yorker, a tattooed feminist who speaks her mind. In her 20s now, Layla struggles to define her identity in the two starkly different worlds she inhabits. Tahini Rahman has her story.
It was that big curly hair and her loud Brooklyn accent that caught my attention the first time I met Layla. We were at a housewarming party of a mutual friend. Layla was wearing a crop top that showed off her midriff with a mini skirt and tights, and I noticed a big tattoo around her belly going up towards her chest.
I got my first tattoo, I would say, October 5th, 2012. This is during Occupy Wall Street. I really remember this day. Actually, my first tattoo is, I don't know if you guys ever seen it. It's the Coexist like logo made up of different religious symbols. So the C is like the Islamic sign, and then I have the O and the E, like a reverted symbol of like the Om, and then the David star and the peace sign on the eye, and then the yin yang, and then the cross, and it spells out Coexist.
When I learned that she's Muslim and Arab, it didn't add up, but I figured she's probably a non-practicing Muslim like me. Even so, she seems so uninhibited. I never imagined that she had a double life, or just how extreme a statement she was making with those tattoos.
Because in Islam, your body's not really yours, it's a vessel of your soul, and you don't own it, and God would punish you or stuff. The most radical thing I can do for myself is have decisions over my body.
I met Layla for the second time in the fall of 2015 at a boozy brunch with some friends at an Italian restaurant in Cobble Hill, Brooklyn. She was in a black sweater dress and boots and had her signature winged eyeliner. After the brunch, the two of us went to a bar in Bushwick for more drinks. This was the first time I had one-on-one time with her. She seemed more mature than her 23 years, and I found myself opening up to her about my recent breakup. I thought I was getting to know her, too. She impressed me as an independent woman who liked defying expectations. And then she defied mine. One day, I opened my LinkedIn and saw her profile picture. I almost didn't recognize her. Her hair was hidden by a hijab, the traditional head cover worn by some Muslim women. Was this the same woman with all those tattoos?
My parents actually know about some of my tattoos, and it's the one thing they can't do anything about.
In Islam, tattoos are taboo. Piercing the skin with a needle and injecting colored dye is haram, or forbidden, because it's changing God's creation. Even in my non-traditional Muslim family, they still think tattooing is haram. I'm pretty sure if my parents ever saw me with a tattoo, they would be pretty mad.
I think my mother is trying to deny that she saw it.
Layla's mom has seen her tattoos.
Because she'll be so angry, but she knows she did. She saw the other one too, actually. Once she's like, what is that? I'm like, what? You crazy? What? And I just walk away. It's funny how my parents compromise, actually. When they know of things, like, you know what? It's not something she'll get caught with. Compared to the hijab, like, that was getting caught with. No one's ever going to see my tattoos.
Layla and her parents have kept up this delicate dance for some time. Yes, that was a current picture of Layla in her hijab. But as I discovered, she doesn't wear it all the time.
Okay, so when I wake up, I do the normal thing, brush my teeth, shower. I get dressed the way I want to look, which is not really saying much because I'm just really casual. After I'm dressed, that's when I put my hijab on, and usually abaya. It's like a long dress that covers someone long sleeve, and it's long, and it's easy for me. And then I go out.
Once out of the house, Layla makes the switch.
I go on the train.
By the time Layla gets to work, the hijab is gone, and she's wearing leggings, a loose t-shirt, and Converse sneakers.
If it's winter, see, winter, it's easy to be slick with it because, you know, everyone is covered up and usually have a big hoodie or a jacket, and I just slip my hijab real quick. The summer sucks. Actually, in the summer, I look very covered, actually. You would not think I'm the same person. Most of the time, I actually get dressed at work before when I go home. I do everything in the bathroom after I leave work, so it's just less work, less stress on the train. Also, sometimes me and my brother take the same train at night, so, you know, it just makes it easier.
When Layla told me about her transformation between home and work, I was shocked. Why go through this routine every day? After all, it turns out her parents know that she takes off her hijab as soon as she leaves the house, just like they know about her tattoos.
The way I identify myself is a person that's living in a fluid world, meaning I live in Brooklyn and I have a Muslim Arab heritage. And those are truly different worlds. The way we dress is different, the way we talk, our customs, our values, everything is different. And it's difficult when they're that different for you to be yourself consistently. So I live in between worlds. I figure out what's appropriate one time and what's worth it and what's not. For example, at home, I don't talk anything about that can make my parents upset. So I won't talk about boys or like dating. Like I wouldn't even dream of it. I would talk about things they would be okay with.
And yet, Layla is a passionate feminist. This fire was stoked as she grew up in a conservative Muslim household with strict gender roles. She was the only daughter in the family, and all the housework fell to her and her mom. She resented her brothers having much less responsibility.
I have three brothers, so you know I was a girl because all the chores I had to do. Wash the dishes, help my mom cook, clean. I was the only one in the house who went to school full-time and tried to work part-time. And you want me to come home and, like, literally feed my little brother?
My parents also grew up with that traditional Muslim mentality, but we all shared equal responsibilities in the household. I never faced that kind of pressure. But for Layla, this was only the start. The gap was even wider at the Islamic school her family sent her to. She told me that gender discrimination permeated everything, starting with the uniforms.
In the Islamic school, all the girls wore a white hijab, which is the headscarf, and the long black abaya, which is that black dress you guys see. The boys was like a white button-down shirt and probably black trousers. But everything was so segregated by gender. Like half of the lobby was girls from youngest to oldest, and the other half was boys from youngest to oldest. So you never really seen the boys in your class. Each floor was separated by gender. Even the prayer, we had this wooden divider, like the boys in the front and the girls in the back, till my graduation.
Males were considered superior, and it seemed to Layla everything was set up to make sure they stayed that way.
If I was supposed to be valedictorian or whatever the other thing is called, if it was a girl who was really earned that position, the boys picked it up. And they told us if one of the girls was picked, she has to do her speech on the floor instead of the stage so the men and the boys don't see her.
She struggled through her years in Islamic school to have her voice heard.
And I remember this one little situation with my, I don't know what he was, like a prince, something, like a higher up. And I was not really the type that gets in trouble in school. I really kept to myself because my dad don't play that. He pulled me out of this lineup. We had this thing called a lineup in the morning where we do prayers, blah, 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 and then announcements. He pulled me out and publicly shamed me for having like a design on my little sleeve under my sweater. I'm like, so you asked me to take off my sweater to see it? I'm like, no. I remember doing that. I'm like, why should I take it off? I'm wearing it. And then he was like, let me see your sleeve, so persistently. And then I remember being so frustrated, taking up, are you attracted to me now? Am I sexy? But, like, really ballistic. And everyone was so shocked because I was not like that. I'm like, you have some audacity approaching me. Like, that was so violating.
But after Islamic school, college was a whole new chapter.
That's, you know, in college, I guess that's when you really get to not like really experiment with your life. I think it's when you're exposed to yourself And it's awkward. You're like, oh shit, this is who I am. This is where I'm from.
All of a sudden, she had the freedom to question everything about her upbringing. What did being a Muslim woman really mean to her? Could she actually stop practicing the Muslim faith? No, she wanted to keep her faith, but couldn't she also try out drinking and partying like other undergrads? Having choices all of a sudden meant being caught between the traditional daughter her parents wanted her to be and the liberal Muslim she thought she wanted to be. Layla finally had to confront what it would do to her family if she abandoned her faith. Her father maybe would understand.
He moved to the city maybe in the 80s, and he was in St. Mark's, so he used to see a lot of different people. It's not that he agrees with them, but he understands there's different types of people.
Her mother was the real challenge.
A lot of my conflict began with my mother. She's extremely faithful to her religion. She thinks women are this and men are that. And sometimes I get so sensitive with her. Like, I always tell people, if I really have to talk about my mom one day, I'm going to tell them how I break her heart every day. I don't mean to, but I'm exactly the girl or the daughter she never wanted.
Layla is committed to her feminist ideals, but she's also committed to her family. In fact, she texted me the other day to say that she's decided to try out wearing the hijab full time. I was a bit surprised at first, but her traditions are important to her, and she's still figuring out how to practice them in a way that works for her.
I think people are so focused on, I guess, the extreme part of my story. It's hijab, no hijab. It seems so entertaining for people because it's odd for them.
She says that if she finally commits to wearing the hijab, it won't be for religious reasons, but as a symbol of her Arab heritage. She still finds it hard to accept all the traditions, and she's exhausted and frustrated by the idea that every decision in her life has to affect her family. But Layla's focusing on what she actually values about keeping her traditions. It keeps her close to her family, and especially her mom.
I have a normal struggle of an immigrant person who lives in between worlds, who's navigating diaspora. If you hear me, if you listen to me, all I want you to understand is it's okay for you to be fluid, and it's okay for you to figure life as it goes. There's no real path, at least to a life that's this new.
My relationship with my family and the Muslim faith is very different from Layla's experience. My parents did try to bring religion to my life, but they were more flexible in letting me make my own decisions. I wonder, how would I do if I had to deal with the conflicts in Layla's life? Like many of us facing adulthood, she's figuring out how to be her own person, and she's determined to find a path that honors both her heritage and her ideals.
This story was produced by Tahini Rahman as part of the Telling Immigrant Stories course at the New School. Our editor was Rosalind Tordesillas, and our associate producer was Stephanie Rodriguez. Rachel Bongiorno is managing editor of Feet in Two Worlds, and John Rudolph is our executive producer. I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez. The music in this episode is from Lee Rosevere and Blue Dot Sessions on Free Music Archive. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. Our supporters include the Ralphie Ogden Foundation, the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation, and listeners like you. Support our work. You can make a contribution on our website at fi2w.org. Feet in Two Worlds is a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School.